Water fluoridation. Now, this will be of a lot of interest to many of your listeners, in particular parents of young children, the elderly, or people who work in a high temperature environment, people like miners or construction workers.
Yep.
And it's actually a topic we've been following for quite a while now here at Open Your Eyes News. Obviously, the background to water fluoridation is that, simply put, it's a mass and arbitrary medication of the entire population, with obviously the belief that fluoride in the water reduces tooth decay. And it's been happening here in WA since 1960s. Costs the taxpayer quite a few millions of dollars each year. Now, the Water Corporation is mandated to fluoridate our water at between 0.9 and 1 milligram per litre, mm-hmm. or 1 part per million. Mm-hmm. However, big news from the USA in the last couple of weeks is that the US Department of Health and Human Services is proposing changing the recommended fluoride level in the USA to 0.7 milligrams per litre of water, so about 30% less mm-hmm. than here in WA.
Right.
Now, this has come about because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the States has reported that around 2 out of 5 adolescents have streaking or spottiness on their teeth. Because of too much fluoride. It's a condition called dental fluorosis, and it appears to have grown significantly as an issue since the 1980s. So the big problem is that this waste product of the phosphate fertilizer industry, which was first introduced here in Perth around 45 years ago, obviously was the only form of fluoride people were ingesting. Mm. Nowadays, people are ingesting a lot of fluoride
in
from
what?
Other areas, particularly the food.
Like?
So, for example, your bread, vegetables, your cup of tea, even your beer has got fluoride.
So are we now getting too much fluoride?
You are overdosing, and the problem is it doesn't flush out the body. It just stays in your body and builds up and up and up and up.
Right.
So in other words, many people in our society are now overdosing on a daily basis.
Which means, is it just a dental issue or is it?
Oh, no. It's far bigger than that. I mean, again, if you look at different groups, so if you just say you're working on a mine site or construction site, you're going to be drinking a lot of water each day, say 8 litres a day. Well, they base the mass medication on the fact that on average you'll drink 2 litres a day. So if you're working on a mine site,
four
you could
times.
Be four times the amount of fluoride just in your drink.
Yeah, and then you diet on top of that.
Yeah, and if you're a child, your recommended daily intake would obviously be a lot less. Mm. Now, this is especially so for bottle-fed babies, and the latest research from Nagala indicates that they should not be bottle-fed using Perth tap water.
Right.
Because they're going to be getting far too much fluoride. Obviously, you've got dental fluorosis is a major issue.
Yep.
But over the last 10 years, there's been a large body of peer-reviewed science that has raised concerns that fluoride may be an unreasonable health risk.
Yes.
For example, just in the last few weeks alone at Open Your Eyes News, we've reported articles from the worldwide media that have talked about exposure to fluoride may lower children's intelligence, according to a study published in the Environmental Health Perspectives. A study in Epidemiology magazine suggests that high cumulative intake of fluoride or long-term exposure to fluoride may increase the risk of forearm fractures in women and potentially even hip fractures.
So what are the authorities, local in particular, going to do? Are they going to change anything based on the fact the Americans have made a reduction?
Nothing.
No plans at all?
No plans at all.
Is that because they're just not aware of what you're just talking about?
Potentially. And also it's something that hasn't been debated properly here in Perth for 45 years. Now, if you think about it, the majority of non-English-speaking Western countries view the issue of water fluoridation as antiquated as applying leeches to all medical conditions.
Yes.
And you've got countries like France, Germany, Sweden, Japan have virtually no water fluoridation, and yet their dental hygiene levels are virtually no different to our own.
Wow. Okay. I'm thinking that this might just at least start the discussion. I'm not sure where that discussion will go, but at least in bringing it to our attention, James, that it could progress.
Well, absolutely. We're very lucky here in Perth, actually. We've got the world's leading expert on the subject, Professor Paul Connett, and she's speaking fortnight today at the WA State Library.
Well, we'll maybe try and get our hands on him and get some authority on the matter.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's move on to your second story.
Second story is the world food crisis. Now, I'm sure many of us here in WA will have noticed you go to the supermarket and the cost of your food items is going up and up and up.
Every time, yeah.
Well, that's, it hurts your back pocket. But imagine you're in a country where the proportion of your daily income gets spent, a very large proportion gets spent on food. And what we're seeing at the moment is a massive spike in food prices. Agriculture ministers were gathered in Berlin last week, according to Bloomberg, and they stated they were very concerned about excessive price volatility and speculation on the international markets. Obviously, international traders are speculating soybeans or whatever else, pushing up the price artificially. But the Financial Times of London has been reporting that the world is moving closer to a food price shock. Now, if we remember back in 2008, there were riots worldwide because food prices were going up and up and up. US government actually cut stock forecasts for key crops like soybeans and corn only last week. So you've seen the prices rise considerably. And the UN is now very, very worried about this. There are, you're already seeing, food is one of the key issues in all the rioting that's going on. Egypt, Tunisia, Yemen, Algeria,
but
Mozambique.
But a lot of this because of the sort of the speculation and the traders?
It is partly speculation. It's partly a number of environmental issues over the last couple of years, like all the fires they had in Russia.
Well, that's right. You've got drier in parts of the world, wetter in others, fires, name it. And it's going to be changing and probably getting worse on a yearly basis, isn't it?
But I mean, you look at the list of countries where the UN sees risk. India, China, Venezuela, Vietnam, Pakistan, Philippines, Angola, Kenya, Sudan.
You
We're talking
it.
A lot of people.
Big populations.
And those populations often have as much as 50, their average income, 50% of that is being spent on food.
That's quite scary. And, food wars, water wars, we've mentioned it before, but it sounds odd, but it may be taking shape already.
Absolutely.
Okay, lift us up one more time.
lift you up.
James Fairbairn with us looking at some of the stories of the week, some of the stories that you might have missed and concerning ones. One more final one, quickly.
One more final one. This one's a very controversial one, actually.
Two weren't.
No, exactly. Back in 1998, many of you will remember a British doctor called Andrew Wakefield published a study about MMR, the triple vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, and he linked that vaccine to autism and bowel disease in children. Now, subsequent to that, there's been obviously a medical establishment has turned on him, discredited him, and so forth. However, last week, New American Research actually was published, which showed there was actually a potential link between MMR and autism and bowel disease. And this was Wake Forest University School of Medicine in North Carolina. And they've been doing a survey of 275 children with regressive autism and bowel disease. And of the 82 tested so far, 70 proved positive for the measles virus. And basically what the researchers are saying is that it's still quite early to draw full conclusions, but they do seem to be finding the measles virus in the gut, and there's an implication, therefore, that may well be coming from the MMR vaccine.
That debate seems to have been going on forever.
It has. Now you've got research which is actually vindicating what Dr. Wakefield rightly or wrongly said back in 1998.
The authorities will be out talking about that again, no doubt. James, thank you so much for highlighting those three stories. If you want to go and check out any of the other stories that might have cropped up this week, openyoureyesnews.com is the website. And James Fairbairn, we shall see you in a few weeks.
Thanks, James.